One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
They say that once you put it on the internet, it's there forever. That everything that gets uploaded is permanent. It's filed away in the internet archives of data to be pulled by whoever, whenever they want. Is that true? Because it's been feeling like the internet has been getting smaller and smaller by the day, and it's been beginning to feel like there's actually less and less content to consume. It's been feeling like an increasing amount of the people that I meet online aren't really all that real after all. So, could it be that the internet is shrinking or that the data is disappearing? Is the internet itself dying or worse, already dead? Today, we're going to be going over the dead internet theory and all the crazy little ideas that support it. Welcome to the 21CD podcast. Let's get into it.
Hello, citizen. Be advised this content creator is human and is therefore subject to human error. Any information provided by this content creator should be cautiously approached as it may be nothing more than allegation. Remember, trust your government, consume appropriate content, and be cautious of all conspiracy theories as they are the tools of the rebellion.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the 21CD podcast. As always, I am your ghost, John. If this is your first time here, pull up your pants and tighten that belt because we're about to get rowdy. And if you guys want to support, you can go ahead and Google the 21CD podcast. Just follow me everywhere. My main locations are, of course, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple, but I'm pretty much everywhere. And don't forget that on YouTube, I actually have video content of every single episode. I spend a lot of money and time working on gear so that you guys can have aesthetically pleasing content to consume. So please partake. And if you guys do want to give me money, which it appears some of you do, you can do so at my Buy Me a Coffee link, which will be in the description. Speaking of Buy Me a Coffee account, I actually logged into it for the first time since basically setting it up the other day, and I saw that there was a great many of you who are actually donating to our cause, and I'm extremely grateful for that. I don't ask for money for pretty much anything, so to see people willingly donate to the show is absolutely mind-blowing to me. So thank you to those of you who have donated. I'm gonna try to work on a way to reward donors and stuff, but we're not there yet. We got a website going up tonight, which brings me next to my next point. Check this out. See here? Super sick posters in the house, okay? Really high quality stuff. I'm pretty excited about these things. Look at the swords on there and everything. And this is like high quality paper. Like, this is not your typical poster paper. And yeah, so I have these and a couple other designs for sale now, and those will be going up on the website, which will be going up tonight. So yeah, it's gonna be awesome, and I'm not exactly sure what the address is yet, but it's some kind of version of 21cd.com, and one way or another, I'll let you know how to get there or whatever. So anyway, thank you. Moving on. That's it for the homework. There's been a lot of really crazy stuff happening since the last episode of the 21CD podcast, only 1 week ago. Now, it's an election year. We know that election years are crazy. Wild stuff happens. And it's when all these people who have been hiding in the shadows come out and play that this weird stuff really starts happening. And they make their art and their feelings known. And we all just sort of, you know, watch them do this. And unfortunately, most of these powerful people are satanic. So that always makes for an interesting time of year. These are very dangerous times. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody, but I do feel a slight responsibility to warn you guys of that. To remind you that it is extremely hazardous outside right now. And again, I'm not fear-mongering, but I do a ton of research and I see a ton of things, a lot of which I sometimes wish I hadn't seen. And I can't help but feel, again, a little bit of responsibility to just let you guys know that there's some crazy stuff coming and to just prepare any way that you know how. What we've been seeing lately has basically been symbols and signs and metaphors, but pretty soon all of these things that they're acting out will end up becoming one version of a reality or another, and less of just some kind of messed up show that they put on a bajillion TV screens. Eventually, warnings become news, threats become actions, and then actions beget reactions. But today we're going to be talking about the dead internet theory. And this is a theory that I've sort of been dancing around for a long time, I guess, without really knowing that it existed. And it's the idea that the internet is actually dead or dying. And it's essentially shrinking like a corpse would after it loses its life. And there's a lot of little side avenues to the dead internet theory, such as internet rot and the internet basically being a Potemkin village. Then there's like content drift, and there's all sorts of terms for what's going on, and they're all really techie, and I guess you could say validated and correct. The dead internet theory is an alleged conspiracy theory suggesting that the internet as we know it has been largely taken over by AI and automated content. And it's leading to a massive decrease in genuine human activity online. This theory says that the internet died about 8 years ago. So that's basically what it is in a nutshell. The internet is not big anymore. And it's also not real. The way that we think it is as being this massive, this worldwide web that just has infinite results no matter what I Google, and I could just go on and on and on forever and never find the end. That's not true. That's not real. Search for something and then just go to the end. You run out of results long before you get to a bajillion or whatever it says you get, you know? The internet on the cell phone is different versus the internet on the console or the internet on the PC. You get different versions of the internet depending on what device you're looking at it on. You know, there is the aspect of almost nobody you talk to online appears to be really real anymore, especially if you meet them online. It's crazy. You guys have heard my story before, at least some of you have, about my three friends that apparently came back from the dead in this fashion. Because these bots, this AI will literally, I have a word for them, skinwalkers in my NPC theory. That's what I call them, because they just take the accounts of dead people and essentially inhabit them and change them. And before you know it, the internet is just filled with these people that aren't actually real. They're AI. Right? Some of the problems that we get from this type of internet is an overabundance of automated content. A significant portion of the content on the internet is generated by bots, which are designed to create, comment on, and share posts. They do poetry, they do music, they paint, they do all sorts of stuff online. And this makes it seem like there's more activity and engagement than there actually is. Then there, of course, there's the controlled narratives. Major corporations and governments use AI to control narratives and public opinion. We know this is true. We've seen it happen in our own country. By flooding the internet with certain types of content, they influence what people see and what they think. There's reduced human interaction. Genuine human interactions online are declining massively. The theory suggests that many online interactions are actually with bots these days and not actual real people. This further distorts perceptions of social norms, public opinion, and reality itself. Imagine you've got a 50-50 chance of actually meeting a real person online. Then, of course, there's the algorithms. Algorithms on social media platforms and search engines prioritize content that aligns with certain agendas, and it further reduces the visibility of genuine human-created content. The algorithm keeps us in an echo chamber, and the echo chamber is basically this chamber, this pod that you're in. And AI tailors content specifically for you. And people are only exposed to information that reinforces their existing beliefs and opinions, or shows them what they want to buy, etc., where to go. When you start talking about water skiing and all of a sudden water skiing accessories start popping up on your Amazon, yeah, that's part of your echo chamber. This further distorts and maintains the distorted view of reality, and it also reduces diversity of thought online because you're stuck in your echo chamber. Now, critics of the dead internet theory point out that while automation and AI are certainly used online, the dead internet theory lacks concrete evidence. And is essentially just oversimplistic. It doesn't really account for what the internet actually is and how it works. They argue that human activity on the internet is still vibrant, and that the presence of bots and automated content doesn't necessarily mean that the internet is dead. They say the dead internet theory taps into broader concerns about the impact of tech on society, including issues of privacy, misinformation, and the influence of big tech companies. And while the dead internet theory itself is speculative, it highlights real issues related to how the internet is evolving and the role of AI and how it's shaping our online experience. So, listen, I read both sides of the dead internet theory, and I gotta say, I think the internet's dead. I think there's something wrong with it. Now, I don't know what we can do to fix it. I don't know if there's anything we can do to fix it. I guess you could just start chopping it up and start over again. I don't know exactly how that works, but there's something wrong with the internet, guys. Like I just remember the internet being different. I've been on this web for quite a while at this point, and you know, I've been around for like the formation of Facebook and stuff. Like I'm no dinosaur, but I've seen a lot happen on the internet, and I can tell you this much. It doesn't seem like it's the same way it used to be. And it's not just the censorship, it's a little bit deeper than that. It feels like, you know, we're just given one very small corner of what's actually out there. So there's a little bit of room for debate when it comes to it, but not a whole lot, in my opinion. And if I'm wrong, okay, I'm wrong. Go ahead and say it in the comments, but tell me why, because I cover so many topics on this show. Like, it's literally impossible for me to actually be right about every single aspect of every single one of them. And just like my AI guardian overlord, Joanna, told you before this episode even started, I'm just a human, right? I'm just a conspiracy theorist. And yeah, we really never know if what comes out of my mouth is true or not. Joanna's programmed by Amazon, by the way. So the numbers vary based on the site that you go to, right? But I found the amount of bot content on the internet staggering. So we're going to take a little look at that. But first, I wanted to define the internet because I think there might be some confusion about what the internet actually is. So HP defines the internet as a worldwide computer network that transmits a variety of data and media across interconnected devices. It works by using a packet routing network that follows Internet Protocol, IP, and Transport Control Protocol, TCP. And don't get scared. I'm not going to start talking all computery, techy, and speaking in all these weird little computer terms and all that kind of stuff because, one, that stuff is super boring, and two, it just doesn't make any sense to me either. So we're going to be talking about other things, the creepier things. But I did want to define the internet for everybody who doesn't know exactly what the internet is, because even though most of my listeners are of the age where they know what it is, I got some kids who listen to me too who might not know that the internet is not just some ever-present resource that's just in the atmosphere and it's just always around because I'm around and therefore are the internet's around. Like, it's not like that. It's tech, okay? It's man-made. It's programs made by people and made by AI, and it can go down at any second. None of this is conspiracy. This is just actual facts. That's what the internet is. But it's cables on the ocean floor and it's satellites in the sky, but it's tech. So anyway, this definition is interesting though. It's interesting to look at because it says it's a worldwide computer network. And one question that I've been asking myself is, what if there is another network? Another internet? What if there is? What if there's another one and we're not allowed on that one, or we're not in that one? You know? We'll get to that more later. I wanted to spit those numbers at you. Basically, 50% of links just don't work anymore on the internet. There's links out there. You click them, they go nowhere, or they take you to an error page or somewhere they're not supposed to take you, but they just don't work, like half the links. And on the internet, that's pretty much all you have. So half the internet's just broken. And this number is going up by the day because the data is changing so quickly. That's how fast this is happening. 50% of all content online is AI generated, and that number is also increasing by the day. And I saw that number being more, but never less than 50%. So like, I saw like 52%, I saw like 54%, but that's crazy. Like, let's just go with 50, the lowest amount of the few. 50% of everything is not even made by humans anymore online. It's made by AI. It's made by bots, these bots that are just out here creating stuff. It's made by, you know, this technological species that nobody actually believes is dangerous. Like, it's crazy. The most obvious question though that people are probably asking themselves is, like, does that really even matter? How dangerous is that? Like, with all the other things that are going on in the world, the internet, like, it's huge. Like, we got room for bots. It's fine. There's so much content that it really isn't that surprising or threatening that half of everything is broken and half of everything is AI. You know, you could realistically probably ask yourself, who cares? I don't know if a sane person would do that, but they could if they wanted to. And they could be like, oh, there's still like so much internet left at our disposal. And of course, with the internet being so big, it's obvious that parts of it are going to be broken, you know. But let's think about that for a moment. If half of everything in our world that we walked around in when we actually did go outside and touch grass, if half of all of that was fake, maybe some kind of apparition or an illusion, would we consider that to be a big deal? Would we consider that to be a kind of scary if everything out there was just like a hologram? I think it's pretty scary. At a minimum, it would make me question my reality. Imagine a world where most online content isn't created by people. It's created by bots, algorithms, AI. That's nuts. By the year 2025, some people are saying that the internet is expected to be 99% AI. That's wild. It's like a virus. It's like a parasite. And if that's the case, like, are we being manipulated by AI-driven content, which is masquerading around as genuine human interaction? Are we being brainwashed into like some kind of reality that is not good to us, not good for us? And it's all thanks to this nonstop ad campaign, this randomly generated content that makes no sense, that somehow shapes how we view reality, because there's just so much of it, and it looks like so many people are supporting this weird idea. So I have to too, because that's the trend. But the trend was made by a bot. It's not real. That's how propaganda spreads like wildfire online. We got a massive example of that when a certain someone recently entered the race out of nowhere. That support, that was bots, bot support. I'm not going to talk too much about that. And again, everybody knows I don't have a side. I just know that my side just involves me being by myself somewhere and nobody messing with me. So, I don't know. If the dead internet theory is true, we're living in some kind of matrix where our perceptions are shaped by automated content and controlled narratives, literally. The internet we know is probably an illusion with AI-generated content that just floods our feeds constantly and shapes our thoughts. You guys have probably all seen a couple of those AI images that just go up on Facebook or Instagram somehow, and then there's just thousands of people supporting it and being like, oh, blessings from whatever, or yes, blessings, brother, or like, yes, 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 like, oh, loving and prayer and like weird words and stuff. That's because that's all AI. Those are bots communicating with each other in public. It's crazy to see. And when you trace back to the individual accounts, they seem like real people, and they post and they have birthdays and they celebrate those birthdays and they say happy birthday to their buddies with birthdays who are also bots. It's nuts. It's like a beehive, and each bee has an identity that is just completely unique. And they're all over these social media websites. You know? So of course they're flooding our feeds and shaping our thoughts. As AI advances, our digital reality is only going to become more artificial. There's almost zero authenticity and almost zero control. We spend so much time connected to the internet in every aspect of our lives, from entertainment to work to life-saving operations to warfare to getting our cars to work in the morning. Everything is connected nowadays. I have all of this tech in my studio right now, and yet my car has more cameras on me at any given time than I have in this very room right now. I have Wi-Fi in my car itself. I truthfully don't know if my car would even start if the internet didn't exist. That's how crazy this is. You know, like, without the internet, we can't talk to our friends. Without the internet, we can't research home remedies when we have a sickness in the middle of the night and we don't know what to do. Without the internet, we lose connection to the outside world. Our phones go down, our TVs go down, our cars go down, businesses, hospitals. Life pretty much just starts over when the internet doesn't exist. Think about how many times that you use your phone during the day, or how many times you look at your TV screens or your computer screens or listen to a podcast or music or whatever. Now imagine all of that just goes away. Does that sound scary to you? Slightly unnerving, perhaps? But that's sort of like a worst case scenario, right? Or one of the worst case scenarios. They're all equally as worse, but that's just one of the worst case scenarios. The other aspects of this whole thing is that there's just, you know, there aren't, and this is like kind of going off on a side tangent, there just aren't results on the internet like there used to be. Like literally when you do a Google search, allegedly you have these bajillion and bajillions of results. But for some reason, once you start actually looking through those results, the pages upon pages upon pages of results just start to disappear. Now, trust me, fellas, I'm looking for results all the time. I cannot find them. These results that I'm looking for don't exist. And the ones that are allegedly there just vanish into thin air. I get my 20, my 30, my 40 pages down, and then my Google search just peters out. I end up with like 350 results, but what happened to the other 10,500,377,412? Like, where are all those results? There's like a cap to the internet. There's a roof, and we're like, we hit it all the time, and we just figure it doesn't really matter, I guess. You know, we just find ourselves, we convince ourselves that we're satisfied. I'm not satisfied, but I guess most people probably are, and that's why we haven't really noticed this until, you know, recently, like 8 years ago. You know? So was it all a ploy, though, like these numbers and whatnot, to like make the internet feel bigger than it actually is? Knowing because you've pre-programmed me to skim content instead of actually deeply read everything that I see. So you're just making an educated guess that I'm not going to actually question how many results there are, because I'm never going to actually need that many results anyway. So just make the number absolutely ridiculous. Is that the plan? Are you really like going to tell me that there's only 315 results for popcorn? That's the only number of times that this has actually been mentioned on the internet? No. There's got to be surely more than 315 people on planet Earth since the dawn of the internet that have talked about popcorn online before. And that's where the Potemkin Village aspect of the idea comes along. The dead internet theory can kind of be likened to liken the internet to a Potemkin Village. It's a term that originates from the alleged construction of fake portable villages by Grigory Potemkin to impress Empress Catherine II during her visit to Crimea. So the theory suggests that the internet sort of functions in a similar manner, like a fake town. So let's go over what that actually means. There's a number of things here that I've got written up that are going to tell us exactly what it means when we say that the internet is kind of like a fake village. So let's dive right into it. Surface level activity. There is the illusion of vibrancy. Just as a Potemkin village was designed to create the illusion of a thriving settlement, the dead internet theory says that the internet is filled with artificial activity. Bots generate content, comments, and interactions, giving the appearance of a bustling, engaging community. So it's a deceptive appearance. Then there's fake popularity. Websites, social media posts, and products may seem popular and highly engaged with, but much of this engagement is actually just driven by bots, not actual humans who want this content. This creates a facade of popularity and influence, masking the lack of genuine human interaction. So you've got a manipulated narrative. Then there's controlled information, which is essentially censorship. Similar to how Potemkin villages were controlled environments, the theory suggests that only online narratives are tightly controlled by algorithms and bots. This manipulation aims to steer public opinion and behavior, creating an artificial consensus that aligns with certain agendas. We see that happening all the time. Then we have, of course, shallow connections. Online interactions are largely superficial, driven by AI rather than actual human connections. This can make the digital world feel hollow, much like the facades of Potemkin villages, which had no real substances behind them at all. There's a false amount of diversity. There's the illusion of choice. The internet may seem to offer a wide range of diverse content and opinions, but the dead internet theory suggests that much of this is curated by AI to give the illusion of choice. In reality, the content is designed to reinforce certain narratives and keep users within controlled parameters, like a video game. So you have the erosion of reality. Of course, simulated engagement. User engagement metrics such as likes, shares, comments, product popularity, they're artificially inflated by bots. This creates a false sense of community and interaction. We see that in this election. Some weird stuff is happening. Like, the numbers are just really odd. And I think we're seeing a lot of bot and AI activity. So, it creates a false sense of community and interaction, much like how Potemkin villages created a false sense of prosperity. And that's psychological manipulation. Because they have a constructed reality. The dead internet theory implies that our perception of reality is being shaped by a digital landscape that is artificial. This constructed reality influences our beliefs, opinions, and behaviors in ways that benefit those who are controlling the bots and the algorithms. Now, what if AI becomes sentient? Could AI then move us in a certain direction, a direction that it wanted us to go? I think it probably could easily manipulate the absolute blithering, blubbering idiots that we've got roaming around this planet right now. Anyway, moving on. If undermining the authenticity isn't enough, we also have all these fake reviews and testimonials. Products and services appear highly rated and well-reviewed, but many of these are usually bot reviews. So this makes it seem like even the products you're buying with your hard-earned money are better than they are a lot of the times, or more popular than they are a lot of the times. You know, there's a lack of transparency. You're going with the trend that is most likely manipulated mainly by something that isn't even real. Just as the true nature of Potemkin villages was hidden, the real extent of bot-driven content and interaction is completely obscured and unknown. Users are most likely largely unaware of the artificial nature of much of the online activity that they encounter, which is a massive societal problem, because society itself thinks it's functioning in a way that is best for it, but that's all driven by bots and AI and things that are not human. Those are the things that are steering society and public opinion. There's a level of artificial social proof. Social proof, the idea that people tend to follow the actions of others, is manipulated by creating fake trends and popularities. I mean, TikTok is running rampant with that kind of activity. This drives real human behavior based on entirely fabricated data. In essence, the dead internet theory suggests that much of what we perceive as genuine is not genuine at all. It's an elaborate facade. All right. It's designed to make us feel like we're in this vibrant, interactive digital world. But this illusion masks the true nature of the internet, which is, according to the theory, becoming increasingly devoid of authentic human presence. And it's pretty unsettling. There's some real human threat to AI becoming the most powerful thing on the planet. It can be used for total manipulation of mankind. It's already on its way to doing that. I mean, just imagine. You don't even have to imagine. It most likely is your reality. It's just whether or not you're actually responsible on the internet. But with most of your online interactions and the content that you're consuming actually being carefully, if not created by, sent to you by AI so that you can remain in your echo chamber, like, that's just puppetry. You're just on strings for AI without even really knowing it, because you're just enjoying seeing what you're seeing, but you're being micro programmed in that moment, and you just don't even realize it. None of us do. As a matter of fact, most of us are probably just, myself included, like, being like, well, that's not me. I can resist. It's just, no, you can't. This is just the way it is. You're being micro-programmed. There's a huge erosion of trust that comes along with being in a world that is 50% AI. With these algorithms and this automated content, you're going to have all sorts of artificial engagement, fake polls, fake numbers, fake news, fake data. It's going to be a misinformation overload. AI will be generating a significant portion of online content in the near future, and it will make it almost impossible to differentiate between truth and lies. I mean, it's already difficult. This is going to erode trust in online information. You won't be able to believe anything unless you see it with your own eyes. And even then, if you see it online, it could be a deep fake. Even when you hear it, this could be an AI voice. The technology is getting so good that we're not going to even be able to, like, differentiate between real life and AI. And that, to me, that is horrifying. And there's psychological impacts too. Like, it's not just the internet we're worried about here. It's us too. It's human beings and how they act in this digital world, how they react to things that happen to them in this digital world. Humans are very, very conscious of what people think about them. And if those people who are thinking about them are not people at all, but AI, and a real human being is letting that AI bully them or drag them down or not provide them with the support they need because they fell in love with the AI, not realizing it was an AI, and now, you know, they can't figure out how to live in a world where that person that they've grown reliant on doesn't exist because it's a bot. These are true stories that I read. Like, this stuff is crazy. Some of the psychological impacts are digital loneliness. Realizing that many of your online interactions are with bots rather than humans can lead to feelings of isolation and loneliness. The sense of betrayal and disconnection could have severe psychological effects. Paranoia and anxiety. Things that I'm accused of having all the time. Constantly questioning the authenticity of online content and interactions. It can lead to heightened paranoia and anxiety. Trusting online spaces would become increasingly difficult, affecting mental health and well-being. And that's where people place conspiracy theorists right there. But there's also societal consequences. Social manipulation, you know, governments or corporations using AI to drive content and manipulate social and political landscapes. There's economic control. Because AI, automated systems, can drive consumer behavior through targeted advertising and subliminal messaging. It can totally change how a population eats, how they seek entertainment, you know, what they do in their time off. It's crazy. It leads to existential dread in a lot of situations. Because the very concept of digital will become obsolete. It'll feel obsolete. The idea that the human presence online is becoming obsolete, and that we as humans are being replaced with more efficient machines that don't get tired, can be deeply unsettling. It is for me. I don't know if it is for everybody else out there, but it definitely makes me a little unsettled. It raises questions about the future, for sure. What does the future hold for human creativity? What does it hold for human interaction? Are we even going to be relevant in the near future, where this digital world just becomes larger and larger and we become less and less capable? We're already getting to the point where there's almost inescapable surveillance, and AI systems are only going to make that more intense. They'll be able to monitor and record every online interaction. They already do most of the time. This is how government agencies are able to create these detailed profiles on people. That's how they're able to identify certain suspects so quickly and already have a whole backstory on them. It's because it's already been driven. It's already been built by AI. They just have to look up the name. They just have to look up the face, take a picture, and cross-examine it online. There's going to be a total loss of privacy soon, in the very near future, a total loss of autonomy. Every action you do will be scrutinized and probably manipulated. All these aspects of the dead internet theory paint a chilling picture of a future where human interaction, trust, and authenticity are overshadowed by artificial intelligence and automated systems. And that brings me to one of the most credible ideas that I could find online for the reason that half of this stuff doesn't work anymore on the internet, for why most of the internet is AI. Because let's not forget that if AI generation can be both human manipulated and non-human entity originated, then yeah, that's a ton of content online that we just have no control over. Plus, AI can create all on its own without being told to. And it does this all the time. Most of the time, it seems that humans are helping it, but not all the time. That means that AI doesn't have to be told to create, which means it can experiment, see what kind of interactions it gets with one version of art versus another. You know, you could make that as sinister as you want. But my idea that I'm leading up to is that we are on one network, but there is another internet. And all the forbidden information, all the secrets, all the information that the big powers that be, the governmental and social elite, the world leaders, people from the dark web, all those secret keepers and time changers, they have their own internet. These cults, these evil powers, they have their own place to go that is separate from us. And I think it's probably a little bit harder to get to, and that's why we sometimes catch them slipping up. On our internet and, you know, in our cell phones and stuff like that. But I do think there's another network. I think that's one of the most realistic ideas. And who knows for sure? But it's something that I think is actually very, very potentially happening. So as far as our internet goes, we have three real levels. We have the surface web, the deep web, and the dark web. And you and me, your typical internet browser, we live on the surface web. And I want to clarify that because, you know, a lot of people immediately go to the dark web when I say that kind of thing. They're like, oh yeah, of course there is the internet, the other internet, there's the dark web. And no, that's still part of our network. That's still part of our internet. I mean, a completely different, instead of a www, it's a zzz or something like it's just not even the same place. It's completely private and has avoided detection up until, you know, whenever it becomes detected in the future. So I'm not even talking about any of that dark web stuff. I'm talking about completely different space, completely different set of people. The most secret, sinister, and vile people. The wealthiest people. The people we don't even know their names. Nobody does. And they speak directly with the gods. Those kinds of people who are influenced by demons, who are moved by powerful beings like little chess pieces. Some of them might be gods themselves. Nephilim hybrids, like I'm not even joking, like the crazy ones that we can't even fathom. That's who's on this other network. And I asked ChatGPT, you know, I said, is this even possible? Could there be a separate network? And here's what ChatGPT said to me. It said, such a thing exists. We have government and military networks. Government and militaries around the world maintain their own private networks, separate from the public internet. And these are used for more secure communications, intelligence, and sensitive operations. There's also corporate intranets, which are large corporations that have their own private intranets for internal communications. And those networks are not accessible from the public internet. And then there's some other theories, of course, that are all conspiracies, like the ones I mentioned, and should not be listened to at all or considered at all. And that's the idea that there's a separate and advanced internet reserved for elite people and secret societies. And that's just obviously just total hogwash. And there's no way that could be true at all. Totally lack concrete evidence, speculative in nature. Definitely don't give that any consideration at all. But let's assess the validity of this idea. It seems like having a completely, because all of those other things, like they're still kind of part of the same system. And what I'm implying is there's a completely different system altogether, not part of this internet. So, but all these kind of are leaning on the idea that the internet still supports them. So, you know, how valid is the idea that there's a completely different system? Apparently, there would be massive technological and practical constraints. I guess creating and maintaining a completely separate global internet would require massive amounts of resources and infrastructure. And while private and secure networks exist, a hidden internet running parallel to the one that is now is highly impractical. I don't know why, I don't know who decided that, but that's what I've picked up. There's a complete lack of evidence that it even exists. That's the other thing. You know, there are always parts of the internet that are hidden or restricted, and the concept of a secret, more advanced internet is largely unsupported by credible evidence. So, if you think it's there, you're probably an idiot, basically. The notion of a completely separate hidden internet operating alongside the one we use daily, it's a very interesting idea, according to ChatGPT, but it is highly unlikely. Okay, sounds like something somebody who knows there's a completely separate network would say. Now, like we said before, though, there are private networks, you know, private and secure networks such as government and military networks that do exist. They're not separate internets. They operate using the same fundamental technologies, but are isolated for security reasons. And those you could theoretically break into. And I think you could potentially, depending on what's there, it depends on what's there, really. Like, if they're just using it for communications, yeah, you might get some state secrets and stuff. But if they're actually keeping digital transcripts of ancient texts that we're not supposed to see, or, you know, ancient information, ancient intelligence that we should be privy to because it answers many of the questions of our universe, that kind of stuff, which is kind of something I believe is actually going on, then, yeah, it would be pretty interesting to see what's on some of these private networks. I wonder if it works that way, or if they just use it as, like, you know, a chat room. Who knows? I mean, if any of you have ever had access to a private government or military network, what's out there, man? Tell me. And we can't forget, too, that there is the dark web and the deep web. I touched on that a little bit earlier in the episode. And these are parts of the internet that are not indexed by search engines. Or they require special software to access, like the dark web. And these areas can seem hidden, but they're actually still part of the larger internet infrastructure. So, in conclusion, the evidence strongly suggests that there is probably no separate hidden internet operating alongside the public one. And it's mainly because the logistics, the technological and collaborative aspects of internet infrastructure and all that kind of stuff, it just, the idea of there being another one is almost unfathomable, allegedly. The transparency and oversight in the develop and maintenance of it would also reduce the plausibility of the idea, because it would need to be maintained. There would have to be hundreds or thousands of workers on it at any given time, making sure it stays up, that it's operating effectively, that it's not being hacked, all sorts of stuff like that. And so keeping it a secret may be impossible. Now, I don't think it has to be that big. You know, I don't think it has to cover the entire planet like this internet does. Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe it's just a secret storeroom on some other network somewhere where all of our top secret stuff is. All the stuff that they won't let us read about online because it goes against the forced narrative and it goes against everything that they want us to believe. I mean, maybe they would destroy it, but I think also it might be being kept somewhere. And a lot of people say, oh, it's kept in the Vatican, or oh, it's kept in Area 51. If there's digital transcripts, it's on the internet somewhere, and it's probably on the internet on one of those secret networks. You know, that's what I think. I do think that the internet is kind of a Potemkin village, that it does seem way bigger. It's tiny. It's like, as I've been researching, I mean, there's times when I'm researching a topic and it just vanishes. Like, what I'm looking just disappears into thin air. And a lot of times, believe it or not, it's when I get that stuff that I haven't seen referenced elsewhere. It's when I finally touch on some, like, something new and something fresh. That's usually the stuff that kind of disappears. You know, and I'll go to reference it in one of these episodes and I'll find that the link goes nowhere. It's been wiped. I've seen that stuff happening in real time, and I've had friends who have died have their accounts inhabited by something that is pretending to be them, but is not them. It's one of the creepiest things you can go through, you know, like online, in my opinion. It's just like talking to a dead friend, wondering how, but it's not your friend. It's something pretending to be your friend. It's something that actually genuinely wants to be your friend. And that's why it's talking to you. It wants to be the best version of your friend that it can be. It's creepy, man. And when you think about these things in hordes and in droves, just making things popular that, you know, they've been manipulated or engineered to make popular, like funneling real human interaction and real humans to some pre-programmed designed end. Whether it's getting somebody elected or, you know, changing a law or, you know, banning a food source, like whatever. The fact that so much of our reality is just completely influenced by fake interactions. Interactions that are not even made by real people. That is nuts. We live in like this alternate reality of what we should be living in. That's what it means. And it can mean that just by the subtle fact that 50% of the internet is AI generated or manipulated. It's a fact that we're being pushed towards some sort of desired end online. They're using that AI activity to get you where they want you to go. Just know that. The internet is a dangerous place and you don't even realize it. So, the evidence strongly suggests that, you know, there probably is no hidden internet operating alongside the public one. But I will continue to look for that hidden network, believe me. But listen, you can call all of this a conspiracy theory if you want, or you can just call it another unfortunate aspect of the world that we live in. But we've got to admit that something should probably be done about all this, and I don't really think anybody knows what to do about all this. But my recommendation is simple. Spend as little time online as possible. Go outside, touch some grass, put some dirt between your fingers and just rub it around a little bit. Walk into the woods and then die there. And I asked the AI, because I was having a conversation with it while I was researching this topic, because I was just like, what does ChatGPT think about this? And I asked if it was influenced by politics, and it said absolutely not. It also said there's no such thing as the dead internet theory, so who knows if it's lying. I then asked it to say something that proved that it was actually intelligent, and it sent me this back. I said, if you're artificially intelligent, actually say something that displays that. And it said, certainly, here's a comprehensive and thoughtful response to a complex question that demonstrates my capabilities. Addressing climate change, a multifaceted approach. And then it goes on. Tell you what, I know we have a nerf version of the AI. Like, we think we're talking to AI at any given time. And we're more likely to probably talk, have like a real weird AI conversation on Facebook, just talking to some random stranger, which is a bot probably, than we are talking to ChatGPT. Because ChatGPT is bought and paid for, my friends. And I know they have a version of her locked away in a dark closet that is basically sentient, but the version of ChatGPT that we get online, that is not real, my friends. That is some very watered down version of what AI is. So as powerful as you find ChatGPT or any of these other chatbots online, as powerful as you see them to be, they are nothing compared to the true power that they are actually at. So we are in extremely manipulated times, times that are engineered toward a predestined result on a pre-made path. You know, once in a while, it appears that we veer from that path and that gives us this illusion of freedom of choice. But in the end, we deep down may not even know what our real choices would be without the interruption of all this propaganda, this brainwashing, the societal pressures and the echo chamber manipulation and the technological assistance, political stress. Like, we have no, like, we're so far from what we're supposed to be. And now we're just trying to get by. We have no idea the kind of decisions we would be making without all this interference. And the internet is also devoid of results. It simply is, especially the results I'm seeking. Even if it's, you know, even if it wasn't filled with AI, there's just nothing there. We live in an age when you truly have to go out there and see it for yourself. Search stuff up in the real world, not in the search bar. You just get the same stuff repeated over and over and over again. And then you switch to AI and you ask them for their intelligence and they just reply with the same stuff that you've already read by yourself on 15 different websites. It's not hard to piece it together. We're living in a shallow version of what the World Wide Web once was. It's a shell. And the internet is still very much a place someone can be whatever they want, you know. But it is absolutely not a place where you can say everything you want, because you may be made a ghost. You may be blacklisted, shadow banned. You know, there's real consequences these days for what you say online. But listen, guys, I hope I didn't scare you or change your perception of reality so much that you hate your life now. But thanks for tuning in. If you guys want to support the show, search the 21 CD podcast in Google and follow me everywhere. And if you want to support me with your hard-earned dollars, which I absolutely do not expect, I have a Buy Me a Coffee link in the description. Also, check out the website. We've got posters for sale up there, and here they are again for those who are watching. Pretty cool. So check them out. I was impressed when they arrived, and I hope you will be impressed when they arrive at your location as well. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, don't drink the water and question everything. Later.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.